compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Have you checked out today's episode of the Patrick Madrid Show? It's far out, man.
I think so. Who is that guy? I saw him in the hallway earlier. 888-914-9149. You can call that number now. We'll get you on the air with your comment or question. 888-914-9149. If you get a busy signal, just keep hitting redial. We'll get in there. And email patrick@relevantradio.com. Let's go to Ginger in Dallas. Good morning, Ginger.
Good morning. My question is, my mother is being confirmed into the Catholic Church on Saturday, the Saturday vigil. She's the first person in our family to be confirmed into the Catholic Church. Okay. And I've been asking her about her classes that she's been taking, which have been kind of sporadic and not very consistent according to her. Okay. And I did ask her if they talked about confession, and she said, no, they hadn't. And I asked her, well, I don't think that you can have the Eucharist for the, you know, without a confession. She's never given a confession in her entire life.
Okay.
But she asked the priest, and he said that it wasn't something that they needed to be concerned about prior to confirmation. But she is going to receive the Eucharist. So is that correct?
No. I mean, the way you're describing it, no, it's not. But I'd like to ask a couple questions. Maybe I'm misunderstanding something. She's a non-Catholic coming into the church, or she was baptized Catholic and then sort of fell away somewhere along the way and has come back?
No, she was Protestant. We're all Protestant, but she's, I never asked my mom about her baptism, but I'm just working under the assumption she's been baptized probably as a child. She's 77.
Okay. Oh my.
And so she's, she's been doing classes this past year, mm-hmm. albeit it doesn't seem like it's a structured program at her church. So, so it's been very, lay people have been doing the education, various people, she said, and mm-hmm. It sounds like to me they had to like put a lot into the last week or two prior to Easter, like maybe they were behind or something. But confession is an area that's not been discussed.
Okay. So let's operate then, Ginger, from the assumption that she has been baptized, and presumably she found her baptismal certificate or some evidence of being baptized.
Yeah.
Do you know, I mean, does she know for sure that she was baptized?
You know, I'll have to ask her. I'm assuming, but I shouldn't do that. I will ask her that today when I talk to her. And I don't know that she has any proof. I don't know that she would have that.
Okay, that's a very important thing right there, and I think it's good of you to follow up on that with her. And here are a couple things that will answer your question. Number one, it may be that she was baptized, but she'll have to have some kind of evidence of that before she can receive any sacrament, because in order to receive any sacrament, you have to have first received the sacrament of baptism. Now, perhaps you already know all these things, but just for the sake of going through.
No, I don't. I'm just kind of been learning.
That's okay. I'm reminded of the song Lady Madonna when I hear the baby in the background there. How old's the baby?
Oh, I know. She's a year old, and it's time to eat. So,
okay. Well.
I'm the grandmother, though.
Okay. I thought you were the young mom with the little baby. So.
Oh, thank you. No.
You're welcome. So let's go through this, and I'll try to keep it to a minimum so the little girl can eat her food. But the first thing is that in order to receive any sacrament validly and with any effect at all, one must first be baptized. That's the foundation of everything else. It's like the foundation of a house. You can't build first, second, third, fourth story on it unless there's a foundation there. So that's absolutely essential, is that she be baptized. Now, if she was baptized and the church where this took place has some record of it, and it can be ascertained that the baptism was valid. In other words, it wasn't some kooky formula like I baptize you in the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Spirit or some such thing. That would be invalid. But if it can be verified that she was validly baptized, then that proof, that typically it would be like a baptismal certificate, That would be absolutely required by the diocese and by the parish, and the priest should know this. In fact, I'm sure the priest does know this. Why he would dispense with that is makes no sense to me. But that is a that is an absolute requirement before the church will even consider giving somebody another sacrament. So that's number one. Now, if she hasn't been baptized, or if there's no reason, or if there's no way to know for sure that she was baptized, then the very first thing that should happen is not confirmation. It should be a conditional baptism, in which the priest would say, if you are not already baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then if she was in fact baptized earlier, that was her valid baptism back then, this becomes superfluous because it's conditional. But if she had never been baptized before, this baptizes her. So she is baptized either way, one way or the other. That's the very first thing that, in terms of sacraments, that should be done if there's no way to know if she ever was baptized before. I'll pause. Any questions on that point?
Mm-mm. No, I understand okay. that.
Okay, so now let's assume that she, let's assume that she has been baptized and it's just been a long, long time. She wants to come into the church. Well, over the course of her lifetime, I don't think there's any reason to imagine she didn't fall into some mortal sins. And so by all means, the very next step for her, if we know for sure that she was baptized, would be the sacrament of confession, also known as reconciliation. That must precede both confirmation and her reception of the Holy Eucharist so that she's properly spiritually prepared to receive those sacraments. And the reason is, if she were to receive the sacrament of confirmation while in the state of mortal sin, it could be validly administered, but it would have no spiritual benefit to her until she got into the state of grace. So by far, the best thing to do would be for her to go to confession first. And if the priest said, well, we don't do that around here, I'm just boggled that he would even say such a thing, because that's very much in the heart of the priestly ministry, is to reconcile sinners from their sins. So it sounds like maybe she might need to go to a different parish if it's that loosey-goosey at this parish, because she would need to go to confession and then receive confirmation in the Holy Eucharist. That would be the remaining two sacraments of initiation. Now, I don't want to over-explain it, but that would be the step-by-step that any parish priest worth his salt at any parish would say to her, you know, these are the steps that we need to take. I'm sorry she's not getting that kind of pastoral care where she is now, but maybe that's the sign she needs to move to a more traditional parish where she's going to get that kind of pastoral care.
Well, I know they have confession at that church. I've seen it in the bulletin when I've gone with her. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if she's a new communicant, I think that's the term, I am confused as to why they didn't discuss confession, the sacrament of confession, in their educational, their RCIA program. I don't know why they didn't come up. So all this being said, what should I tell her?
Poor thing.
Because I told her, I said, if you don't feel comfortable being confirmed this Easter, if you don't feel like you've been, you know, educated in all the areas that you need to be, then you don't have to do this now if you don't feel comfortable. But I think she just, because she doesn't understand the importance of confession prior to receiving the Eucharist, I don't think she fully understands that. I think she's just going to go along with what the priest is telling her, that this is what they're going to do.
Here's what I would propose.
People coming into the church that evening.
I see. Yeah, and it's a big event. I mean, it's a very blessed moment. Well, I don't want to pull the rug out from under her feet or anything like that, but if she has never been to confession and she's 72 and the priest is saying, I'm going to confirm you, but we don't need to do the confession thing, there's just something very strange and weird about that and wrong. So maybe the best thing to do, if you want, Ginger, is if you want to hold when our call is finished, and young Thomas will pick up with you. So don't hang up. If you would like to be in contact, I can put you in contact with a good priest in the greater Dallas area, someone I know and trust, and you can get a second opinion from him. And he may say, you know what, here's how we can help with this. We can, you know, I can refer you to another parish. I can recommend a priest who may be able to give your mom private instructions. I mean, those things can be done as well. But that would be probably because he would be in your area and you'd be able to see if that's something that might help your mom.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. So don't hang up, Ginger. And all I'll need would be whatever contact info, you know, an email, phone number, that kind of thing, and your name. And then I'll make sure that I put you in touch with a priest in your area who can help you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome, Ginger. I hope this all works out beautifully, especially for your beloved mother. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Terry in Oceanside, California. Hello, Terry.
Hi, good morning. My question is, Patrick, I have a friend of mine who goes to church every Sunday. She's Catholic, but was not married in the Catholic Church, and she wants to receive the Holy Eucharist.
Okay.
What can she do to get to that step?
So was she married? So was she divorced and remarried, or was her husband now divorced and remarried?
Nope, they're both still married. He was Baptist. She's Hispanic Catholic. So
okay, but they didn't get married in the church.
They did not get married in the Catholic church.
Okay, this is an easy one. So if she is a devout Catholic, but she made the mistake of not getting married in the church, and who knows why, maybe she just didn't realize it. But the church would say that because of the lack of canonical form, which is that for Catholics, you must be married in a church, and marriage has to be witnessed and blessed by a bishop, priest, or deacon in order for the marriage to be valid. Now, this is only true of Catholics. The church does not require this for anyone else. So justice of the peace, two Protestants, that's fine. Two atheists and a Hindu get married, justice of the peace, that's fine. So this is something only for Catholics. So because she didn't get married in the church, technically the marriage is invalid, but there's an easy way to repair that situation. All she needs to do is talk to her pastor, explain the situation. I really want to get right with God. I really want to, you know, be back on track. And he will initiate the process for their marriage to be convalidated. In colloquial terms, people say get their marriage blessed, but that's what they're referring to. And so the convalidation essentially is their public exchange of their vows and the marriage contract publicly expressed. And when they do this, and it would be witnessed by the priest and blessed by the priest, then their marriage will be convalidated. Then she needs to go to confession, and she would go to confession before this. And in the meantime, if she and her husband live as brother and sister, you know what I mean by that, right? Live as brother and sister.
Correct.
Okay. So if they do that, she can go to confession right now. She can go to confession today and then receive Holy Communion today. So there would be no waiting for her if she wanted to do that. But they would need to stop doing what married people do in the interim. Mm-hmm. Then the church will, shortly after that, it's not a lengthy time period, the priest would convalidate their marriage, and then all is well, and all the boxes are checked, and she's good to go.
Okay, great. I'm going to have her listen to this archived after when the show is repeated again today, and have her listen to it so she knows what to do. And may I make one comment, and this is for Aaron. Aaron from yesterday, and I know I couldn't get in to say it, and I know everybody's praying for it, and I am, because I've been in her shoes as far as the thoughts that she was receiving. Mm-hmm. And all I can say to dear Aaron, if you are listening, one thing to say out loud is say when you get those thoughts, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan be gone, pick up your rosary and start saying the Hail Mary out loud. And that thought, those things around you will dissipate in an instant. And I know you know what that's like, those attacks, because I know you've talked about your hotel experience. I've had that experience. And that is the only thing, I swear, the only thing that got rid of that pure evil thoughts or those things that come around you are those two, is Jesus Christ in his name and Blessed Mother Mary's rosary. I know Satan hates the rosary. And
Amen.
And Aaron, if you're listening, I am praying you, and I know there's, I don't know how many more people are praying for her, but I think she's going to be okay. I really think she's going to be okay. I think also too, and this is just a quick one, because she is moving forward to you, calling you, people praying for her, Satan knows that, and he's going to do everything in his power to keep her away from people like yourself, people praying for her, because that's what happened to me. It was like the biggest fight against me was coming into the church, coming back to the church, and for 27 years, it'll be this Easter that I came back to the church, and I've never turned back and left, but at 33, I was very suicidal. And yeah, I think I've talked to you about this before. You probably don't remember if you talked to many people, but you know, Patrick, you taught me so much about my faith that, and I know everybody tells you that without you, I didn't realize the gem I have in the Catholic Church and what we have. It's the best thing that anybody can ever experience. And thank you for everything you do. And I hope you never leave, but.
Terry, you're so wonderful. Thank you. Number one, thank you for sharing from your heart. I do appreciate that. I, too, really hope and pray not only that Aaron is feeling better and moving forward, but that she's listening, because Relevant Radio, as you know, can be such a lifeline for people, especially because of people like you, Terry, when you call in and express from your heart your concern and your love and your prayers. When people hear that, like when I hear it, and I know that you're praying for me, it's very, very deeply meaningful to me, and I'm grateful for that.
Yes. Thank you so much, Patrick, for everything you do.
Thank you, Terry. Well, let's take a break on that wonderful, happy note. And Aaron, if you are listening, please know that we love you, we care about you, and you have so many people praying for you right now. Please let that be a bit of a security for you as you move forward in faith. Call me back one of these days, too. I want to check up on you. I'll be right back. Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. Info at charitymobile.com.
Imagine every person that you see is somewhat different from every other person in the world.
Call now. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind?
Yes.
You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
Yeah, I know that. It's pretty cool. All right, but good to be curious, good to grow ideas in the garden of your mind. This show is kind of a garden of all of our minds. Let's see what grows. 888-914-9149. Did I ever tell you I missed Mr. Rogers, Cyrus? Like, I miss him because he's gone now.
Yeah, I miss him too. Yep. We miss Tom Petty. We miss Mr. Rogers.
Imagine if Mr. Rogers got together with Tom Petty in the studio and cranked out a song. That would be funny.
I would listen to that. I'd buy that.
Yep. Man, I'd buy that album so fast. 888-914-9149. This is going to be a turn in a different direction, but I'd like to get your opinion on this. I'll share my opinion with you, but I'd like to hear yours. So for men and women, especially if you're married, tell me what you think about this. This is on... what is it? This is on Reddit, and I'm just going to read it to you. The question that the Redditor asks is, did I, a 32-year-old male, ruin my marriage by requesting a DNA test? Now, by the way, it occurs to me that this is not suitable for younger children. So parents, if they're babies in arms, who cares? Because they can't understand it anyway. But if they're little kids, grammar school, etc., not a good idea for them to hear this question, because it's a topic they don't need to know about. So please exercise due caution and either turn the radio down or send them into a different room. So if you're in Houston, California, mom and dad, send those kids into a different room. Or if you're in Traverse City, Michigan, and you have a whole bunch of daughters, send those daughters into another room, assuming that they're not old enough to follow this, okay? Fair warning, ready, steady, go. The question is, did I, a 32-year-old male, I can't even believe that this is on here. Did I, a 32-year-old male, ruin my marriage by requesting a DNA test? My 31-year-old wife gave birth to our newborn baby 3 months ago, and I thought things were fine. However, my wife did not. 2 months in, my wife approached me saying she was exhausted from taking care of the baby and asked me why I wasn't helping. I told her that I thought I was helping, but she pointed out that I never got up at night, I never get the baby while he or she's crying, never change the baby or do anything. After some talking, I admitted that I was apprehensive about helping, and she asked why. I thought it was going to cause a fight, so I tried to change the subject. She told me that I should just tell her because if I didn't, she was going to her parents' house for help until she went back to work. I didn't want that, so I told her that I wanted a DNA test. not for himself, I guess, for the baby. Said I wanted a DNA test. Now, I just, you know, there we go.
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
Yeah, that's my reaction in a nutshell. He says, I'm not helping with the baby. I'm not changing diapers. I'm not getting up when the baby cries. I'm not really doing anything with the baby because, you know, if you really want to know, I would like to have a DNA test. So she said that she wished I would have told her this when she found out she was pregnant. I didn't understand that, but she agreed to it. She didn't seem mad or upset. She just said that I could set it up and we get it done because she didn't make the baby alone, so she shouldn't have to care for the baby alone. We did the test, and when we got the results back, I told her and showed them to her. She didn't say anything about it. She just asked if I felt safe enough now to help. And I said yes. Soon after that, I noticed her behavior started to change with me and my family. Everything changed, and she started staying in different parts of the house, parts that I wasn't in at that time. I finally asked her about it recently, and she said that she lost all respect for me. She said she spent 10 years of her life with me, faithfully, just for me to slap her in the face with a request for a DNA test. I explained that I didn't think she had been unfaithful, but I just needed to be sure. She said she's trying to work through it, but everything I say sounds moronic to her. I agree with her. And we should just leave it where it is. I thought if I showed her videos and had her listen to podcasts about DNA tests, she would understand. But after the last one, she said she was going to go stay with her parents. I don't know what is happening or how to fix it. She wasn't even mad when I asked for it. I feel like she isn't hearing what I'm saying. Oh, she heard you. It isn't that serious, and if she could just understand my perspective, I think she'll adjust hers. She's not even against DNA testing, so I'm unsure what her issue is. I don't know. Ding dong! I can tell you what the issue is. What the issue is that you're essentially saying that you don't trust that she's telling you the truth, that this is your child. Married for 10 years, and you have a little baby together? And you ask her for a DNA test? I mean, that's basically, it's tantamount to an accusation. And you know what that accusation is about. So you say at the very end, 32-year-old male, you say, you hope that she will understand your perspective and she'll adjust hers. Why should she adjust her perspective to your stupid perspective? Because, and I'll bet you the reason she wasn't angry when you first asked her is because she was so shocked that you would even ask such a thing of her, because the asking of the question is an implicit accusation. You know what I mean, Cyrus, don't you? You know what I'm talking about.
Game over, man. It's game over.
That's right. Oh, it's just so frustrating that this guy would be such a bonehead. And I don't know where he's getting this. I'm guessing that he's probably a devotee of some of these just useless podcast guys and useless YouTube guys who promote a kind of quote-unquote masculinity. This is a great example of how that backfired in his face. And he asked his lovely wife for a DNA test, and he basically has tanked their marriage. That's what it sounds like to me. He has imploded their marriage.
If you disobey the rules, you get cut off.
That sounds like the wife talking right there.
Yeah, sure. I don't want to laugh at someone's misfortune, but come on, numbskull. Now you got to get to work. You got to get to work repairing your marriage.
How did you put it? You know, what an idiot. How did you say it that last time a second ago? Is that
what an idiot? Oh, what a loser.
That perfectly encapsulates my reaction to this. So I needed to get that off my chest. I saw it. A lot of people saw it. It's got a lot of, let me see, how many upvotes? I can't tell looking at this whether these are upvotes or downvotes, but
this post is really weird because I just went there to share it and I am now unable to view this post. So I don't know if it's in the process of being deleted or what, but I can't even share it. It says, you're unable to view this post because the account owner limits who can view their post. But I was looking at it, you know, 20 minutes ago.
So, I'm going to send you something through the glass, Cyrus, and you tell me if you can see it because I can see it just fine. I'm not actually on Reddit right now. But
The Reddit post is gone. The Reddit post is gone as well. And now it's disappearing off Twitter. I can still see lots of the comments. I can see all the, I think I can see all the comments.
Well, what makes
but the
me,
post is gone.
What makes me wonder is that, first of all, I don't know why it would be taken down off of Reddit. Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. It is taken down.
So it's down for you too. Okay. It's not just
me. I do have it here. So I guess I need to screenshot this before it goes away entirely. I'll do that. Maybe we can post it in all its glory before it goes away. But
what's the God door here? Of course we're supposed to trust your spouse. This is the person you've chosen to spend your life with. You've made vows.
Well, the God door, if you want to put it in that way, would be, don't be an idiot. If you're a husband, don't be an idiot. Don't do something stupid like that and expect your wife to say, oh, okay, yeah, sure, honey, we've been married for 10 years.
No biggie.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't occur to me to ask why you might ask for a DNA test. There's only one reason why, I can't even speak. There's only one reason, by the way, that anyone would even ask for a DNA test. And we all know what that reason is, right? Can I get an amen? We know what that reason is. So,
a man and a woman.
To me, the God door is don't be an idiot. That's one God door. Maybe another God door would be if you're preparing for marriage properly and you take enough time to really get to know your intended husband or wife, you would never need to ask such a question. It wouldn't even be
fact.
It wouldn't come into your mind to ask such a question.
Yes.
Exactly. So it is duly screenshotted. Cyrus, I don't know if that's the correct grammar there, but I have it now, and I will send it to you through the glass from my studio to yours so that you can post it on Facebook, and then nobody can take it away from us.
Thank you,
but,
sir.
I mean, I just want to say that to me is an example of, and maybe this is another, not necessarily a God door, but maybe a bit of advice. Hey, guys, trust me on this, and you just saw a great example of what I'm talking about. There are a lot of dudes out there with their Facebook or their whatever, their YouTube channel or their Facebook page or their podcast. Everybody has a podcast now. Who are giving bad advice about marriage and parenting, and you know, just it boggles my mind sometimes some of the bad advice that people give. And so
I don't want that on my karmic record.
No, I really don't.
You really don't. So that would be a word to the wise. You know, if you feel like you need some dude guru on YouTube who's telling you how you should be married to your wife and, you know, ask her for a DNA test to make sure it's really yours. You're losing it, man, because you're getting bad advice if that's the kind of advice you're getting. Far better that you should listen to Relevant Radio 24/7, for that matter. Oh, okay, I think I've purged my thoughts on that issue. Anything you'd like to add to that, Cyrus?
I think you covered it. This poor guy. Now go and fix that relationship. And
do you feel sorry for him or do you feel pity for him? Because I feel more pity than sorrow for him.
I feel a little bit of both. Yeah, pity. And there's kind of like you did it to yourself. Mm-hmm. Now there's this mountain. It takes forever to build up trust. Mm-hmm. And it takes one stupid moment to mm-hmm. crash it all down. And now you got to build it all up again.
Hopefully he can. You know, my concern would be that his wife would just say, you know, I don't know if these people are Catholic. I don't know anything about them beyond what's on the post. But I could easily imagine that she's saying, I thought I knew him and I thought he knew me, but obviously he didn't and I didn't. So I see real problems for this couple. How do you go about making up for that? How do you go about telling her, oh, remember that one time when I asked you for a DNA test? That was so ridiculous. Can't believe I ever did that. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, I've changed. I'm different now.
One thing is for sure. He will never live it. She will remind him of that till they're hopefully old together and laughing about it. But she will constantly remind him. Anytime he does anything wrong or she wants him to do anything he doesn't want to do, he's going to be reminded of this one boneheaded moment.
Oh, I know. So anyway, there's that. And be really careful whose advice you take when it comes to things like this. There's a lot of bad advice floating around out there. I don't know why some people get taken in by it, but they do. All right. On that happy note, we'll take a break and come back to your phone calls. If you have a thought on this issue, you have an opinion, I'd like to hear it. 888-914-9149. Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. info@charitymobile.com.
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
I'm a loser! I'm a loser! And I'm not what I appear to be. Of all the love I have won.
I know, but why would a husband ask his wife of 10 years to have a DNA test for their baby? It's just...
Well, there's only one reason. He doesn't trust his wife.
It just... Yeah, this kind of puts it into perspective. Guys, here's a pro tip. Don't ask your wife to have a DNA test for the baby, okay? That's the whole tip right there. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Rose in Orland Park, Illinois. Hello, Rose.
Hi, Patrick. Just kind of thinking you let the guy way off the hook, not only on the DNA giant mistake, but also that he wasn't helping change the baby, feed the baby, get up with the baby. She's only 2 months from delivering. She's got to be exhausted and healing. So he's a giant jerk.
Yeah, but I'm not letting him off the hook at all. I mean, everything you're saying is correct, Rose. He should be helping as best he can. But that's, you know, it's like if your house is on fire and I'm worried that you've got some weeds in the front yard. To me, this sort of overshadowed all of his stupidity and the smaller things like not helping his poor wife. I mean, I agree with you.
Okay.
But yeah, that wasn't doesn't it strike you as like the really big problem is he's asking his wife for a DNA test?
Very true. A completely stupid, stupid. But he blew a totally not bonding with his baby by not helping out too.
That's a very good point. You know, and it's implicit in what he says on Reddit that the reason is when his wife sort of cornered him on this issue, how come you're not helping? Well, you know, if you really want to know, it's because would you take a DNA test? Meaning that he didn't believe, he wasn't sure if it was actually his baby. Ugh.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thanks. And just for the record, Rose, I'm with you on this issue. I agree with you. He was a jerk before he became a huge jerk by not helping his wife when she needed help.
That's the way to put it.
Yeah. I'm with you.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rose. I appreciate that. I remember when Nancy and I were young parents and popping out babies as we did. And one of the solutions that really worked well for us was when the babies were young, I mean, like newborn babies, she would have the baby on her side of the bed so that when the baby would wake up at night, she could just nurse the baby and everybody was great. Nobody had to get up. Nobody had to get up out of bed and leave the room or anything like that. And 11 children later, that system worked very well. And I don't know if that's something that's common. I've never asked about it, but that worked for us. So moms, if you have a fussy baby and you have to get up at night and your husband, whether he's helping you or not, that's something that we tried and it seemed to work well. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Laura in Maryland. Hello, Laura.
Hey there, Patrick. Hey, listen, I'm calling about that lady who called about her mom being received into the church next Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thought that went through my mind was that the woman who was making the call was not Catholic herself, and I think she said that.
She did come into the church, but she was raised Protestant, so she had become Catholic.
The daughter?
Yes, the lady who called. The lady who called in. That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, here was my thought. My thought was that maybe she was just using the wrong words. Maybe she meant to say my mom's being received into the church instead of confirmed into the church. And like my question would be, is she a catechumen? Is she a candidate for baptism? And if she is going to be baptized, then doesn't baptism remove all of your sins up until that time?
Yes.
Even if you're 77 years old?
Yes. And the mom, as I recall, is 72. So, yes, that's the case. That's why, you may remember, I asked her, I tried to be very precise about this. Was she ever baptized? And if she was baptized, then the next step would not be confirmation. It would be confession. But if she wasn't baptized, then she would be baptized, in which case she could go directly to confirmation in the Holy Eucharist. She wouldn't need to go to confession. But the doubt seemed to me that the lady who called me, Ginger, I believe was her name, she really didn't know whether her mom had been baptized. And I think she said that her mom didn't know if she had been baptized, or at least there was a question mark about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just hope that the priest wasn't as loosey-goosey as we might suspect, and that he's already looked into all of that prior.
Hopefully. But you know what made me wonder about that, Laura, was because Ginger said that, I think she said she asked the priest, I'd have to go back and listen to it, about confession, mm-hmm. like shouldn't she go to confession first? And she said his response was, we don't really worry about that here. We don't bother with that here. Mm-hmm. Which sounds so strange. You know, why would...
Well, it did. You know. It did sound strange. And I'm glad you gave her... I'm hoping she stayed on the line to get the name of that priest in her area that could help her figure it out. So.
She did. Yeah, God bless her. She did. So I'm going to, you know, at some point in the not-too-distant future, I'm going to make sure she has good priest contact in the greater Dallas area, so she can get a good second opinion from him.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for clearing that up for me. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Thank you, Laura. Nice chatting with you. Let's go to Vicki in Bakersfield. Hi, Vicki. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. I just had a couple of quick questions about the dad who asked for the DNA test.
Yeah.
I guess I missed the part where have they been married for 10 years? Or I just heard the wife gave her life for 10 years to him.
Let me read. Yeah, let me read what it says here. So it says, and I need to increase the, I need to make it bigger so I can read it. So he says, okay, so he says, soon after that, I noticed her behavior started to change. This is after he asked her for the DNA test. Her behavior started to change with me and my family. Everything changed, and she started saying in she started staying in different parts of the house, parts that I wasn't in at the time. I finally asked her about it recently, and she said that she lost all respect for me. She said she spent 10 years of her life with me faithfully just for me to slap her in the face with a DNA test request. So although he's not explicit, I interpret that to mean that they were married for 10 years, or at least the better part of 10 years.
Because, and this is how we, I guess in my mind, I'm just thinking, well, if they're not, they weren't married for the whole 10 years, and comes back to the point of people living together but not being married.
Well, he refers to her as his wife.
Out the door.
No, no, he refers to her as his wife. My wife gave birth to our baby 3 months ago. And then later, so he refers to her consistently as my wife, my wife, my wife. And then he says, she said, we've been together for 10 years and you're now asking me for a DNA test. So I think they've been married for most of those 10 years.
Oh, I'm definitely not defending his actions, but my mind is going like, what would possess you to ask that question? Exactly. So then my second thought was, what if he's experienced some type of postpartum depression, like similar to women, and that's why he couldn't bond with the baby? I don't know if that's even
maybe. Well, I like your sense of trying to look for a good way to understand this. So I do appreciate that. But he says in here, she kind of corners him and she says, look, I'm exhausted. I've been taking care of the baby alone. And she asks him, why wasn't he helping? He says, I told her, I thought I was helping, but she pointed out that he never gets up at night. He never gets the baby when the baby's crying. He never changes the baby's diapers or does anything. After some talking, he says, I admitted that I was apprehensive about helping. And she asked why. I thought it was going to cause a fight. So I tried to change the subject. She told me that I should just tell her. And so I didn't want that, but I told her anyway that I wanted a DNA test. So
yeah,
he reveals,
clearly didn't bond with his baby.
True, true. But
and
it seems
could be because he thought it wasn't his.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
That's what he, in essence, admits to her. He says basically that, well, I haven't been helping because would you be willing to have a DNA test? Because I'm doubtful that this is my baby. Why he would think that, I don't know.
I don't know, but I know moms experience some mothers, you know, where they can't bond with their own children and they give birth to them.
Yeah, but that's understandable. This guy's just a dope.
Yeah,
he's just
a
loser. I don't think he's got postpartum anything. I think he's watching the wrong podcast or listening to the wrong podcast or getting stupid advice from stupid guys on YouTube, if I had to guess.
Or even in his own life.
I'm a loser.
Maybe his friends aren't married. Who knows? But he needs to start listening to Relevant Radio.
Amen, sister. I like how you think.
Okay. Well, have a blessed Friday.
Thank you. And do say hello to all my friends in Bakersfield. I love the Catholic folk out there in Bakersfield.
Will do. Definitely.
Thanks, Vicky. Thank you. Yeah, for sure. How about Ann now in Michigan? Excuse me. Good morning, Ann.
Yes, good morning. I also wanted to comment on that DNA post.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, just I agree with your answer, except for the fact that maybe you should have qualified it that we don't have all the facts, and maybe he did have some evidence or fear that she was unfaithful, and maybe he had reason to believe that, but he didn't
say that.
Portray that in this post, but we just don't know all the facts. So I think we should qualify your answer that, assuming our facts that we believe are true, then he is a dumb. But you know, I don't think it's fair to lambaste people when you don't know all the facts like that. That's all.
Well, that's true. But how can you know all the facts, you know, of a marriage on a Reddit post? I mean, it's three long paragraphs. There's no way to fit all the facts in there. Let me, I hear what you're saying, Anne. I don't necessarily agree, but let me ask you this question. Let's say that you and your husband are married for 10 years and you have a baby and you notice your husband isn't really paying much attention to the baby. And then out of the blue, he asks you to take a DNA test, you know, with him, you know, his DNA to find out if the baby is his baby. How would you react to that?
Yeah. I was kind of thinking as you were talking, but yeah, of course I'd be surprised. But I'm just saying his post might not reveal all the facts.
Maybe. But then again, I think just going on the post, I mean, you should read it for yourself, I mean, and make your own opinion. But what I read from it is this guy had no discernible reason to think that his wife might have had a baby with another man. There was nothing in what he said about her, including her own reaction. Right. Hey, I love you. I've been faithful to you. Everything's great. And now you're asking me for a DNA test?
Right, but she could have said that untruthfully. I've been faithful to you. You know what I'm saying? We just have a lot of facts. That's all I'm saying.
I do, but okay. I mean, fair enough, Anne, fair enough. But there's no way
I'd like to give people a little bit, you know.
There's no way we'll ever know all the facts of that marriage. We only know what he posted on there. And based on what he posted, it seems pretty clear to me that she was not at fault. He was just suspicious for no good reason.
Yep, it seems that way, yes. So that's all I have to say.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate the call, Anne. I do. 888-914-9149. Let's see. Let's go to Mary in Brookfield, Illinois. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How are you, Patrick?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay, so now that I get to hear a little bit more, I have a little comment and opinion. Okay. First of all, you know, like she said, we don't know the facts, but I'm thinking too that maybe, you know, he's not happy in the marriage and maybe he's using this to get out of the marriage as well, you know, because he knows, because we don't know who she is, how she acts or what, you know, how she is it and everything, or him, you know, but maybe he wants out and he doesn't know how to get out of marriage. So he figures
he found a good way. He found a really good way to get out of that marriage if that's what he was looking for.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's a good reason to exit. You know what I'm saying? That would be a good reason to get out, you know, if he wanted to get out. Like I said, we don't know what's going on.
Right. If I may interject, I don't seek that a marriage should end. I don't seek that the marriage should fall apart. He did something stupid, if you ask me.
Well, and, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then not even to have the compassion to take care of a child, period. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, so I don't know, you know, what how he was brought up or raised or anything or what religion he is.
Right. And there's no way for anyone to know any of those things. We're simply talking about what he himself said in his post. That's all we have to go on.
That's what we have to go on. And then another thing then, before all this, that I heard all this that was going on, I also thought that, you know, in her side, you know, we always try to teach mercy and compassion to everybody as a human being. You know, to forgiveness. And also that the devil's always looking to ruin people's marriages and life. You know?
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't disagree, Mary. That's for sure. But he didn't even need the devil's help in this case. He took it into his own hands and imploded his marriage, or so it seems anyway. Hey, Mary, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. I'm coming back with hour three right after this.
I'm a loser.